Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
You are Locked On Vikings, your daily Minnesota Vikings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Locked On Vikings on the Locked On Podcast Network, episode number 296. It's sort of like a Monday show on a Tuesday. We didn't have Sage yesterday. We have him here today. He's on Twitter at SageRosenfels18. Good morning, Sage.
Good morning on a Tuesday.
Before we even get started, let me congratulate you for going 4-0 in picks and evening up the score at 17-11 through 7 weeks. Congratulations. You've climbed the mountain.
Don't call it a comeback. I've been here for years.
I don't think you've led at any point in the picks contest, and here you are. You've kind of clawed your way. You know, you didn't do it all at once. You didn't take one big bite. You just kind of nibbled away at that deficit, and you got the Saints game absolutely correct. I did not, so that was the difference this past week. And we both got the Bears. I mean, that was pretty good instinct on our part. Pat ourselves in the back for that one.
Yeah, that was. Well, you know, when you're behind, you have to realize the NFL season is a marathon. It's not a sprint. So, you know, whether you're making picks like we are or you're actually in the season, you might be 2-4. There's a lot of season to be played. So you can't earn it all back right away. And, you know, and usually we pick about 80% of our picks the same. So I have to pick and choose the ones and take chances I feel good about. And I really felt good about the Saints going up there. So I'm sure we could talk about that game or the whole Green Bay quarterback situation at some point. That'll be, topic of conversation in the coming weeks, because we'll know a lot about Brett Hundley. We'll know a lot about Ted Thompson. We'll know a lot about, you know, the sort of Green Bay Packers team in general. As you know, Aaron Rodgers, you know, recovers from his injury, and we'll, you know, we've talked about how they don't have a great roster. I don't believe it's an okay roster. It's not as good as the Vikings roster, but they just have had Aaron Rodgers for the last few years, which covers up a lot of general manager mistakes. And we're going to see how good this Green Bay Packers team in the next couple months.
Yes, we will. They are 4-3. They're a game back of Minnesota, and reportedly, they're saying that Aaron Rodgers, who's eligible to come back week 15 off IR, they're saying that he might be able to resume throwing activities after this recovery process. Can you believe that? I mean, doesn't that seem absolutely nuts that on his throwing shoulder he could undergo surgery and maybe come back this year?
Yeah, because, well, it's not really his shoulder, it's his clavicle. So it's, you know, it's not, the clavicles are not part of the, mm-hmm. you know, the movement process of throwing a football, but I think he'll be eligible to come back. I just, unless the Packers are right in the mix and have a really good chance of getting to the playoffs, I don't see him coming back this year. So I don't think that's going to happen. And even saying that, if they are even possibly in the hunt, I get concerned that he'll break it again, because, you know, there's healed, and then there's like, okay, a full year from now, it's fully healed all the way through. And I've broken bones before. I've seen other guys have injuries, and there's that spot where, like, yeah, it's healed, but it's really not going to be fully up to, you know, the strength that was before for really a long time, 6 months, 8 months, 9 months. And so I think the Packers should just sort of call it a day, or I shouldn't say call it a day, but they should sort of just go with Hundley, see how he does, if he plays really well. You know, he could be great trade bait, and they could get, you know, maybe a second rounder for him or something like that, and just sort of just support him and open the playbook up for him. And that's my thing, is you're not going to do anything being really conservative and trying to hide this kid. I think Hundley's a good player. I think he could be a very good player. I mean, he looks good out there. He looks the part. He's very athletic. He's got a nice arm. He just needs to play a lot. So I think you take the gloves off and you throw the ball 30, 35 times a game, 40 times a game, and he'll get better quicker and that, you know, maybe they might lose a couple games right away, but you know, they could maybe, you know, win four or five in a row down the stretch and keep alive in the playoff hunt.
Yeah, and Rodgers gave him a nice cushion with four out of the first five wins. So if they could get five wins with Hundley out of the next nine games, if he could go 500, I mean, they would have a chance going into the final couple weeks. And the crazy thing is that if, and a big if, Aaron Rodgers were to consider coming back, he might come back against the Vikings because they play Minnesota week 16 at Lambeau Field. So how crazy would that be if the team that injured him would be the team to first meet him again? Like you said, if that happens, it probably means that they're competing for a division title, and that would be some pretty spectacular television right there. The Vikings are 5-2, one game back of Philadelphia for the best record in the NFC, and they basically won with field goals on Sunday. We talked about it a bit in yesterday's show, but I want to ask you, when you go into the locker room after the game, you've just won, like Vikings did, with six field goals out of seven scoring drives, I think. They had one touchdown mixed in there. Is the coaching staff satisfied with that result? I mean, obviously the W is huge. That's the most important part. But is there a satisfaction level there, or is there a sense that we need to do a lot better?
Well, immediately after the game, listen, when you win a football game in the National Football League, even if you're a three-touchdown favorite and you win the game, you walk in that locker room with a smile on your face. And sometimes it's relief, like, oh, we didn't play very well, but hey, we got the win. It's all that matters at the end of the day is what's your win-loss record. It's not really how you played in the games. Now, once you get in, you know, to say your quarterback's coach walks over and you'll say, hey, great win. You know we can play better. We got a lot of things to improve on. We can't be kicking field goals all the time in the red zone, but, you know, nice win. And I think I heard Zimmer say it at the press conference. I believe it was the Monday press conference. It might have been after the game on Sunday. He was talking about how he sort of told his team he thought it was going to be an ugly, you know, type of football game. It was just going to be one of these grinded out football games. You know, he had coached in that AFC North with Pittsburgh and Cincinnati and Cleveland and Baltimore for years when he was over in Cincinnati as the defensive coordinator. So he just knows that these games are just sort of ugly and brutal and they just sort of beat each other up. And that's the type of game it sort of was. And the Vikings just sort of kept grinding it out. They protected the football fairly well, and they did a nice job of harassing Joe Flacco. So it was just a good team win. It wasn't fancy. You'd like to have more touchdowns in the red zone, but you know, when you play in, as a quarterback, when you play in games like that you sort of know are going to be ugly, you just sort of take the points when you can get them. And you know, if at the end of the game you're down by a touchdown or two touchdowns in the fourth quarter, maybe you take a few more chances in those red zone opportunities, but if your defense is playing great, which the Vikings defense played very well in that game, you just take those 3 points every time you get them because you know you're going to rely on your defense to win those ugly football games.
There is more to me, Queen Eliara of Elfgard, than my elven magic. Just as there's more to Geico than saving you money, Geico also gives you 24/7 access to licensed agents online, on the phone, or on the Geico app. And while I am a mighty elf queen, I am also a mighty big fan of barbecue potato chips. Minions! More smoky mesquite.
Geico. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
Do you think Everson Griffin is the defensive MVP so far? Or maybe would you throw in Harrison Smith or Anthony Barr in that mix?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Defensive stats, you know, there's sacks, there's interceptions, there's, you know, maybe tackles for loss. You know, but at the end of the day, the Vikings defense is good because they're good at all the levels. You know, the linebackers are playing really well. The defensive line's playing well. And the secondary does a very good job. So, you know, Harrison Smith does so many things for this football team. He can cover tight ends, you know, one-on-one. Sometimes he has to cover wide receivers or running backs. He blitzes a lot. He's up in near the line of scrimmage to stop the run. To me, he's a guy who, you know, probably spends the most time covering the most ground on the field and being a part of the run game and the passing game. I think he is just a fantastic player who probably doesn't get enough credit. But, you know, Griffin's the guy who, at the end of the day, when they need pressure, you know, he's the cowbell guy who goes out there and gets that pressure and gets those sacks and has now racked up, what is it, 7-8 games in a row or something like that with a sack. So he's been phenomenal. What's interesting about Everson, and I remember when he came in as a rookie, I think he was a fourth-round draft pick from USC. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking to myself, I see why he was a fourth-round pick. You know, I just had played with, you know, Jared Allen and Justin Tuck when I was in New York, and these guys who were, you know, 6'5", 6'6", 6', you know, just, you know, big guys with long arms. And Everson's not like that. They might have him at 6'3". I think he's probably even closer to 6'2". He's just not a tall guy, but he's so powerful. And that's really what his strength is. He's so quick and powerful, and he just sometimes just sort of overwhelms those left tackles with speed. Sometimes it's with power. Sometimes it's with a spin move. He has become a premier defensive end in the NFL.
The Ravens were extremely banged up in that game. You know, as a result, Joe Flacco was kind of hung out to dry. He didn't have a lot of targets. His offensive line was a little banged up as well. The stat I saw was that he was getting rid of the ball, I think, the fastest of any quarterback in any of Sunday's games. And even then, the Vikings still got 5 sacks on him, even when he was trying to get rid of the ball quickly. So those weren't just necessarily coverage sacks. Those were defensive linemen going one-on-one and just beating offensive linemen. I mean, the blitzes were working really well. Anthony Barr had one where he was uncontested. So that pass rush is really, really ferocious right now. And to me, it feels like the heart and soul of the defense. That being said, I think some of your weaknesses last year have really been fixed almost. I mean, Anthony Barr was a weakness last year, but Anthony Barr has been outstanding so far. And Mike Zimmer said in his press conference, he's playing with a ton of fire. He's playing motivated, and he's basically in a contract year. And you can tell that he's going for that big extension. And then, you know, Trey Waynes, we've kind of had our criticisms of him, but the past few weeks, he's really stabilized nicely at corner. And when Waynes is playing well and your linebackers are playing well once again, there really are no weaknesses on this defense, are there?
No, there really isn't. And I said they're good at all three levels. That's what's nice. And Waynes has always been the guy who's opposite Xavier Rhodes, who's just a stud. And he's the smaller, sort of scrappy, you know, a corner. And he was a first-round pick, but he does get picked on just because everyone goes opposite of Xavier. That's just sort of the way it goes. And he gets more opportunities, and sometimes he gets exposed a little bit, as any corner would. But I think he has played better and better. The secondary as a whole has played better. We should talk about the Andrew Zendejo suspension at some point today. But and said they're really good at the D-line. Their linebackers are playing really good football. Their secondary is very good. To be a good defense, it's not about one or two or three players. You have to be really good at all three levels, and the Vikings defense most definitely is.
Yeah, let's talk about that Zendejo suspension. I was going to bring it up. Backtrack. So Zendejo, on the second drive of the game for Baltimore, hits Mike Wallace as he's going to the ground. Ball pops free. Looks like a Vikings turnover. Turns out there's a late flag thrown by the referees, and it was a scary injury. Mike Wallace concussed on a shoulder-to-helmet hit by Zendejo. And then yesterday, Mike Zimmer was asked about this hit, and here's his quote on it. He says, "I think the receiver took 5 steps after he caught the ball. I think he hit him with a glancing blow. I know what the officials told me, but I'm going to turn it into the league and see what they say. Wallace established position as a runner, took 2 extra steps. Xavier was trying to pull the ball out, which he ended up doing. The guy went down a little bit, but in my opinion, he was a runner." So Mike Zimmer is in full defense of Andrew Zendejo here. And then it came down a couple hours later that Zendejo was suspended for 1 game. And I suspect Zimmer knew that was going to happen when he gave his ardent defense to the media yesterday. The result was very scary. Mike Wallace was down on the field. His arms were locked. His eyes were closed. It wasn't good whatsoever. That being said, you know, do you think the ends can justify a suspension if the hit was maybe, as Zimmer said, against a runner, not a defenseless receiver?
I'll tell you what, I think the hardest position to play defensively in the NFL is the safety position, you know, based off of those guys have to be, you know, the ones who, you know, prevent receivers and tight ends and sort of scare them from, you know, throwing the ball over the middle. They got to come up on tackles. They got to, you know, a lot of times there's open field runners and they got to make a hard tackle. And, you know, they're coming from, you know, 10, 15, sometimes even 20 yards deep at full speed. It's the most violent position, I think, in the NFL because there's such a distance between them and whether it's a wide receiver or a running back, and they can build up all that momentum and speed for these violent hits. So, you know, in that situation, in defense of Andrew, he did use his shoulder. He did come in there, you know, head lowered, crown of the helmet. He didn't do that. He tried to, you can see him turn his shoulder into him. He just happened to hit Mike Wallace, you know, in the helmet. And it's such a hard position to play because your sort of strike zone is so small sometimes, in particular as the players are maybe going down or they're going down to protect themselves from an oncoming safety hit. And then, you know, as you're going lower, they lower too. And then you go end up going, you know, shoulder pad to helmet. So I don't think it was a dirty play. Those are just the types of plays that seem to be happening, you know, almost in every football game. It's sort of it's one of the sort of the flaws of the sport that those plays just sort of naturally are always going to occur. So I know Zendejo is not a dirty player at all. He is a guy who is in the right way, worked his way up from a practice squad player to a guy barely on the team into a starting role. But to be that guy, you have to be extremely tough. You have to, you know, sort of be a hitter back there. You got to be a great tackler. And he has made himself into a good football player. So I hope he keeps playing the game that he played it before. So he's not a dirty player, but that would have to be a bang-bang play. And that's sort of just the way the league is going. And you have to accept it and move on and we'll play football when he comes off his suspension.
Yeah, and now I've looked into some of the precedent for a hit like this, and in the past there have been one-game suspensions that have been reduced to significant fines instead. So I think there's a chance that upon appeal, he could maybe have this thing reduced. Now, a couple notes on the actual play. You know, number one, I feel like that's instructed of players that if somebody is wrapped up but still on their feet, the goal is to go in there and jar the ball free. So he's doing what he's supposed to do. You know, people might say, well, he's going down anyway. Why does he have to fly in there? I think you have to understand that he's going for a turnover, and he got the turnover. He did exactly what he intended to do. Another thing, too, I watched the tape back of the game, and I watched the first couple series over again. Zendejo did the exact same thing two times prior to that. Like in the game's first five plays, he had flown into a group to finish off a tackle, and nobody said anything about it. So that's just the way he plays. That's just the way that the safety position plays, and he's trying to make big game-changing plays, and that's going to be a side effect sometimes, especially when a receiver is dipping down. There's almost no window there to hit him cleanly.
And this is the difference between rugby and football, right? It's the game of inches. And, you know, if he doesn't go in there and try to get that player down as quickly as possible, and it ends up being a first down because of it, because he sort of goes, well, I'm not going to hit him this time, and the guy gets an extra yard, you know, he's going to lose his job, right? Where in rugby, it's just sort of like, just sort of get him down within a distance. There is no, you know, first down and 10 type of situation. So, you know, that is the issue with football, is that every inch absolutely counts. So your job is to hit somebody basically as hard as you can to get them down as quickly as possible.
Thoughts on Latavius Murray's game? He had his best by far. I think it was 113 yards. Goes for a long touchdown that really broke that one open. I'm not sure he was healthy for the first part of this season. He had that ankle surgery. He was still coming back from it. He even admitted as much that he might not have been 100%, but I felt like he looked like a healthy Latavius Murray for the first time on Sunday.
Yeah, he did look healthy, and you know, I wrote this week about backup quarterbacks, and of course, you know, Case Keenum was again involved in that conversation. I sort of wrote a little bit about him 2 weeks in a row, and you know, one thing about Case is that he's such a good bootleg quarterback, and they run so many with him, and really, you know, credit to Pat Shurmur for designing and calling a lot of bootleg plays. That's obviously one of Case's strengths. He makes really good decisions when he's out of the pocket and on the run. But I think, you know, Case's ability to get on the edge is also helping the running game. I mean, one of the first long run, I think it was about a 30, 35-yard wrap the middle, not the touchdown run, but the one before that, the defensive end is upfield playing the bootleg, Murray cuts it right back into the hole. The defensive end cannot recover to make the tackle, and he's off to the races for about a 30-yard run. I don't know if that play happens if it's Sam Bradford handing it off, because the defensive end is just not going to be all that worried of, well, what happens if Sam Bradford gets on the edge? He's probably not going to run for 15 yards, but you know who does is Case Keenum, right? So I actually think Case is helping the running game as well. But as you said, Latavius definitely is healthier than he was earlier. It was great to see him get off to a great start. I really like this 1-2 punch that they have going on here. They're very different backs. Murray's a little more of a grinder. McKinnon's obviously got more speed and quickness. But I like the fact that they have two good backs in there that can catch the ball. They're good with protection. They're multifaceted, and they're really helping this football team.
All right, tomorrow's show, we'll have you back on. It'll be all London all the time. We'll talk about the Vikings' trip overseas. We'll talk about the Browns, the loss of Joe Thomas, and all the sleep expertise that they've been getting from certain sleep doctors on how to handle this trip. We'll do the whole show in English accents. I think that's what the listeners would appreciate, right?
That sounds good to me. And over tea and strumpets.
Yes. Wait, strumpets? Crumpets.
Crumpets. I say strumpets.
I think you did. Anyway, that'll be tomorrow on Locked On London on the Locked On Podcast Network. Sage, thanks a lot. Good show.
All right, good show.
Win a subscription to Pro Football Focus by leaving a review on iTunes. Leave your Twitter handle in the review, and you can get the signature stats that help you see the game in a whole new way.
Napa know-how. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum 3 items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.